I would really encourage you guys to pay attention, not only to the teaching, but also to your counselors. And I just set a great example of what it means to be a respectful person. So the theme of the camp this year, oh, by the way, one announcement. There in the back, there is a Get Well card for Gary Horton. Some of you may know who Gary Horton is. Some of you may not. Gary Horton is somebody who's been affiliated with this camp for a long time, and he's pretty sick or has been pretty sick, and we wanted to send him a Get Well card. So if you would like to sign that card, is that right? It's going to be on in the back. There's going to be a card in the back, and you can sign it so that Gary can get well. He's a former Army Ranger, by the way, and he's a really great guy. He's an evangelist. So with that in mind, the theme of this camp is Answer the Call, and it's based on 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. So before we jump in, I want to have a word of prayer, and then we'll go. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity once again to open your word, to see what it is that you have to say to us. Lord, you know how inadequate I am to do this. I can do nothing without you. And Father, it's my prayer tonight that the people will not see me, but they will see you through me. I pray that God, that Holy Spirit would take over and use me as a tool and an instrument to bring truth. I just thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ, who gives us eternal life. I thank you for God, the Holy Spirit, who guides us and directs us if we allow him to. I pray, Father, that you would protect this place, that you would bind the enemy. I pray that you would build a hedge of protection around this camp all this week. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone here present in this place now or who may be listening online, if they don't understand or don't know what it means to be a Christian, I pray, Father, that that would become abundantly clear and that they would make the right choice. And I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we get into the scriptures tonight, it struck me, when you think about answering the call, America is the greatest nation on earth. Well, you guys, a lot of you young people may not know that, but this country, our country, is the greatest nation on earth. And the reason why is because we have men and women who are willing to go to war to fight for our freedom. This past week was June the 6th, which was D-Day, when American forces landed and began to conquer the German Empire, the German army. And of course, they won our freedom for us. And I want to share with you a short story about a man who answered a call. This man just happened to be my father-in-law. He's now deceased. And does anyone know what this is? Anyone have a clue what this is? I know you know. Yes, sir. No. A prosthetic? No. Anybody else? Yes. A4. This is actually a tail hook from an airplane. Go ahead and throw up that picture of this. It's actually, see that plane right there? That's what my father-in-law flew. And this is the bottom half of that thing that's hanging off the back. And so the planes, it would land on a carrier, and this thing right here would catch the cord or on the carrier so that the plane could land. My father-in-law had over 2,000 carrier landings, and this is one of the hooks that off the actual airplane that he used. And so I thought this would be a great way to introduce this camp regarding answering the call. My father-in-law answered the call to fight for our nation. He actually won the Distinguished Flying Cross because of a event that took place in Vietnam during the Vietnam War. He was on a bombing run over Hanoi, which was in North Vietnam, and a surface-to-air missile hit his plane. Long story short, it blew a big old hole in the wing of his plane, and he was able to fly that jet, that A4, just like that, 150 miles out over the ocean, and have his whole crew land first, all the guys that were with him, because he was the captain of that flight. And then while circling in the air, he was able to land that plane with the huge hole in his wing. Guys and girls, that's the kind of stuff that people who are in the military, that's the kind of things that they do. You hear so often nowadays, especially, people want to bash our country. They want to beat our country up. They want to talk about what a rotten place this is, and that's just simply not true. Don't listen to them. We have several people here attending this camp who are military veterans. Monty Watkins, Mr. Monty, the one that runs the camp, he's a former Army Ranger. So I would encourage you sometime during the week to go up and tell him thank you for what he did. So, but that's an example of what it means to answer the call. When we talk about answering the call when it comes to the Christian life, it's answering the call of faith. I mean, a lot of us can answer, you could put all kinds of answer the call of as far as what. It could be joining the military. It could be going to college. It could be getting a new job or going to the next grade in school. All of us have some kind of a call that we answer all the time. Now, I know a lot of you in here, I know that you're Christians, I know that you're believers, but I don't know if everybody in here is a believer. And so what I want to do for the first part of the night tonight, I want to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the greatest call that you can answer is the call of faith. There is no more important decision you can make than to exercise faith in Jesus Christ. But as far as the call goes, what does God have to say about the call? What is answering the call as far as what God says? Well, according to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." So in answer to what the call is, as far as God is concerned, he wants for all people to be saved. He wants for all people to exercise faith in his Son. It's a call that God makes universally. It's something that all of us can respond to. Not just some of us, not just a few of us, but all of us. And we're going to see as we go through a few passages of Scripture tonight that Jesus died for the whole planet, that he died for the sins of the entire human race. But as far as the call of God's, what God has to say about it, there's only one way to answer the call of faith, and that is to exercise faith in Jesus Christ, in his Son, Jesus Christ. And we read on in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth." What I want you to pay attention to is verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and that is Christ Jesus." The only way to get to where God is, the only way to become a part of the kingdom of God, is to exercise faith in Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other way to heaven except to believe in what Christ has done on your behalf. Now, I want to share with you real quickly my testimony about how I became a Christian. I was one of those kids that kind of grew up not in a privileged home, if you will, but I had it made as far as a lot of things are concerned. I know there's a lot of people here, or several people here, who have had bad home lives. You may know people that have had a bad home life. That wasn't me. I was raised in a Christian home. My dad was a Navy chaplain, and then he was a Baptist minister. Both of my parents were Christians. By the time I was 10 years old, my sister, I have two sisters and a brother, and my youngest sister, if you will, the one that was closest to me, she was 10 years older than me, so by the time I was 10, she was 20, and she was already out of the house. So basically, from about 8 or 9 years old on, I was kind of raised as an only child. And as I said, my parents were Christians. They were good people. They taught me about Jesus Christ. They told me how to become a Christian. They encouraged me that I needed to make that decision just like I'm doing with you guys tonight. And I remember there came a point in my life where I realized that something wasn't right. There was something about my life that just was off kilter. And I came to the point where I realized that if I didn't put faith in Christ, I would die without him. And if I died without Christ, I would go to a place that the Bible calls hell. And I would spend eternity in hell. And I'll be honest with you, that scared the daylights out of me. So, when I was about 12 years old, my parents took me to a Bible camp, of all places, not too dissimilar from this one. It was in a place called Ridgecrest, North Carolina. And at that Bible camp, I came to know Christ as my Savior. I don't remember a lot about the message. I just remember I knew that Jesus was what I needed. I knew that the only thing that could fill that hole in my heart was to exercise faith in Christ. And I'll never forget, it was an older man that was teaching the sermon. I just remember he had shock white hair. And I just remember making that decision for Christ. There was the song that was being sung. I still remember that, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. His word will not leave you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. There's a light for a look at the Savior, light more abundant and free." And I remember me coming from that great life that I had. I didn't have a tough life growing up, guys. I had it made. Knowing what I know now, I had it made. But even though I came up in that great life, I knew that I needed a Savior. I knew that there was more to life than what I had. And I knew that if I did not make that decision for Christ, then it would be the worst non-decision that I could ever make. And my life took a drastic turn from that point. I remember not long after that visiting my sister, my oldest sister, who at the time lived in Panama. Not in Panama City, Florida, but in Panama, as in Central America. Her husband was with the Air Force, and he was stationed down there. And I got to go spend a summer with them for about 3 months. And so here I'm, about 13, 14 years old. And she introduced me to Bible study. She actually had a notebook, and I would read one chapter a day, and I would write what I got out of that chapter in my notebook. And so then I began to develop a love for the Word of God. So now I was a Christian, I was saved, my eternal security, my eternal future was assured, and now I'm developing a love for the Word of God. And so along as the years go by, that love increased. I began to get more and more into the Word of God. I began to love it. I ended up becoming a police officer, and I did that for 18 years. But during that time when I was a cop, I was also teaching Bible study. And then there came a day, in November 30th, I believe it was, 2007. I was on a hunting trip in West Virginia. And Monty Watkins, the guy that runs this camp, calls me up on the phone and says, "Do you want to come be the pastor of this church?" And of course, here I am today, the pastor of the church. Point being, I answered the call. First, I answered the call of faith in Christ, and then the Lord took me in another direction, and I answered another call to become the pastor of this church. And it was the greatest decision and the best decision I could ever make. But regarding the gospel, I want to break it down for you tonight, guys. Again, I don't know the spiritual condition of everyone here. And it's important for me, and it's important, every teacher here tonight would tell you this, it's important for that all of us that you understand what it means to become a believer in Christ. So I'm going to take you to several passages of Scripture. I'm going to put them up here, so that way it'll be easy. You can just look at it right up here, and I'm going to show you what the Bible has to say. First of all, I want to talk about sin. Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The entire human race, from Adam to the last person that will ever live, has sinned. We're all sinners. There's nothing we can do about it. You're born that way. All men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12 says, "Therefore, just as through one man, a man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned." Here's the gist of it. Adam and Eve in the garden. Adam makes a wrong decision and says and does what God tells him not to. He eats of that fruit from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And because he disobeyed God, he became a sinner. And so now the sin that Adam started, that came from him, it was imputed to the whole human race. It became a part of the whole human race. So that you and I and all the people since then, since him, okay, we're all born sinners. We have a problem. We have a sin problem. God can't tolerate sin. People who are sinners are going to hell. Okay, it's as simple as that. And it's not something that's going to stop. It's eternal. Yes, it's scary, but yes, it's very real. So sin is the problem. What's the solution? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever," believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The solution to the sin problem is to put faith in Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. It's that simple, guys and gals. Okay? Believe. It's as simple as that. Believe what Jesus has done for you. More on that in just a few minutes. And when you believe in him, you have everlasting life just like that. It's called faith alone in Christ alone. If you do not believe on the Son, and if you die without Christ, then the wrath of God abides on you. John 11:25-26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And my question to you is, do you believe this? Jesus said that he is the resurrection and the life. Do you realize that there's more proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ than there is proof of the existence of Julius Caesar? Okay? There's more proof of his resurrection than there is proof of a man who was a Roman ruler. Yet people automatically believe, oh yeah, Julius Caesar, yeah, he was a real guy. Jesus rising from the dead, I don't know about that. But guys, it's true. There's more proof of his resurrection. Did you know that the people who were the enemies of Christ in the Gospels, they're called the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they never denied the resurrection. They simply tried to cover it up. Okay? There's a whole bunch of other facts that I could tell you about the resurrection. The Roman soldiers, the ones who fell asleep in front of the tomb, the penalty for a Roman soldier to fall asleep was death. Okay? And yet, they said that the Pharisees told them, the high priest and all, they said, hey, just tell your commanders that you fell asleep and we'll just kind of pay them off and you don't worry about it. All right? So, Jesus rose from the dead. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You cannot get to God through Islam. You cannot get to God through Buddha. You cannot get to God through Shinto. You cannot get to God through any other religion anywhere in the world. There's only one way to God. And the only way to the Father is through the Son, and the Son is Jesus Christ. There is no other way. And once you exercise faith in him, he's done all the work. All you got to do is believe. How about faith? What is faith? How do we become a Christian? One word, guys, faith. Faith is simply believing God's word. It's that simple. If you believe what God's word says, that's called faith. And when you have that faith and exercise that faith, then you become a believer. To receive Christ simply means to believe in him and his work on the cross. What is his work on the cross? Jesus was born of a virgin. He had no sin in his life. He was sinless. He lived a sinless life. He lived a perfect life. He never once disobeyed God. He did everything right. The Bible tells us that he fulfilled the laws of Moses, which is impossible to do except for Christ. He did it. And then he willingly, of his own accord, he went to the cross, took on your sins. The Bible tells us that he became sin. All that sin that separates you from God, Jesus took it on. He became sin for you. He became the sins of the entire race. He took all that on. And he died on the cross willingly so that you could have eternal life. And then 3 days later, he's in the grave for 3 days and three nights, and then he's resurrected. And the Bible tells us that he ascended, and he's presently seated at the right hand of God. Christ has already done the work, guys. You don't have to do anything but exercise faith in him. 1 John 2:1 tells us that the work of Jesus satisfied the wrath of God. He took your place and mine. He paid the penalty we owe, And in return, he gives us the same life he possesses, which never ends. We do not earn this life. We do not deserve this life. But we can have it as a free gift if you simply believe. It's what I did in that camp in North Carolina. It hit me like a ton of lead. I'll never forget. I lived, like I said, I had such a great life. Okay? But all of a sudden, I knew my need for Christ, and I'll never forget the feeling that washed over me. I hate to use that word feeling, but I just had assurance in my life that everything was good. It was like a great weight had been lifted off of me. I'll never forget it. Romans 10:17 tells us this. So faith comes from hearing what is told, and what is heard comes by the preaching of the message concerning Christ. Once you hear the gospel, once you see the gospel, whether it be in the Bible or once you hear it, from like you're hearing it right now, the decision is up to you. You have to make the decision about what you're going to do. Do I think Jesus is real, or is this just a bunch of hogwash? Okay? It's a decision that you have to make. And I would encourage you, if any of you have questions about any of the things that I'm saying tonight, come talk to me or one of the teachers or one of the counselors, and we'd be more than happy to talk to you about it. Because it's very important for me. If there's somebody here that does not know Christ as Savior, it's very important to me, personally, that you come to know what that means and that you make that decision. How about resurrection? Let's talk a little bit about that. Luke 24:1-3 tells us this. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ because the tomb had been rolled away. He really did rise from the dead. By the way, no other leader of any other religion has ever risen from the dead. Muhammad, the prophet Muhammad of Islam, his bones are still in the ground. Okay? Any other, the Buddha, again, his bones are still in the ground. Any other religion, there's only one faith, there's only one person who's risen from the dead, and that's Christ. Now, another really important point, if you make that decision, if you're already saved, by the way, this is good, you need to know these things as well. Okay? But what about once you're saved? Are you eternally secure? Can you lose your salvation? And the answer is absolutely no, you can't. John 10:27-30 tells us this, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Once you are saved, guys, you cannot lose your salvation. It's an eternal thing. God does it. He takes care of it. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Angels can't separate you from God. Okay? Sin, once you're saved, sin can't separate you from God. I'm talking about eternally now, and it can cause a problem as far as your daily walk, but that's not what I'm really talking about tonight. Regarding sin, once you're saved, there's nothing that can separate you from God. You are permanently a part of His family. Now, maybe there's someone here tonight or listening online who has never trusted or believed in Christ. Maybe this is the camp, the Bible camp, where you get to make that decision for Christ. Maybe it's going to be this week that one of you, if you haven't, will choose to make Christ as your Savior. And maybe there's going to come a day, years down the road, where you may be standing in front of a group of kids and you're going to recount your story of how you became a believer at a Bible camp. Wouldn't that be awesome? Okay? So I wanted to make sure you guys understood abundantly clear what it means to be saved. And hopefully we've accomplished that tonight. Now I had intended to get into 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, which is our main verse, but I'm not going to have time because I got a special treat for you. You're going to get to watch a video. And this video is really cool. and maybe we'll look at these other things tomorrow night. But the video I'm going to show you, I showed it a couple of years ago at this camp in 2017. And I want to talk just briefly about attitude. Attitude is everything. What kind of an attitude do you have if you're saved already, okay? And even for those who may not be sure about their salvation, I want to talk just briefly about attitude. Having a winning attitude. And what I have to say about that, winning in life means living by a set of principles. If you want to be a winner in life, learn to live by a set of principles. This video that I'm going to show you, it's about 20 minutes long. And as I said, we watched it a couple of years ago at this camp. And what it is, it's a commencement speech given at the University of Texas to the graduating class of 2014. The speaker is Admiral William McRaven, who served as a Navy SEAL and is now retired. So as you watch this, I want you to think about attitude and having the attitude of a winner. And most importantly, though, remember what we learned about the gospel. But for now, let's go ahead and watch this video. One person can change the world by giving people hope. That's what stuck out for me from what he said. And there has already been one person that's changed the world by giving people hope, and that was Christ. Jesus Christ changed the world because he brings hope to this world. You live in a world that there's a lot of not a lot of hope. There's a lot of bad things going on. But I want you tonight to just remember that as we're about to break up here in just a second. You just remember that Christ, he gives you hope. And all you got to do is place your faith in him if you haven't done that. So thank you, guys. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, I pray that you, Lord, I just pray that you would work among these people tonight, these kids. I just thank you, Father, for your son, Jesus. I pray that God, the Holy Spirit, would do what's necessary amongst all of us. The urging that may need to go on, the conversations that may need to take place. Father, I just pray that that would happen. We're just so thankful, Father, for the hope that you give us through Jesus Christ. And I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Do they?